This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Mets, great win yesterday. Great win. Yankees, sensational win. New York baseball. I'll ask you, is New York baseball, have we turned the corner where we're in a much better spot than we were?
I think Yankees, yes. Mets, I hope, but I'm not fully.
Okay. Here's my follow-up question now to you. My follow-up question. What has to happen for you to get to the point where you look at the Mets, you're like, all right, you know what, guys? Take a deep breath. We've kind of salvaged the season here.
Well, I mean, you're going to have Carrasco back tonight.
Correct.
And then I'm going to get Scherzer and Verlander. So I had a good start, win the series. I think that goes without saying. But I have to see what Scherzer looks like. So I have to continue to see Scherzer pitch well.
So until you see a Max Scherzer that you look at and say, you know what, he's going to be fine, you hold your breath with the Mets season.
I think so, yeah.
So he's the X factor for you for this year?
Doesn't he have to be?
Probably so.
I mean, doesn't he have to be? I don't know when Quintana's coming back.
Right.
McGill gave me a good start last night.
I swear to you, right now, hand to God, if I have to watch Peterson get another start, whenever it is that the Friday roast happens after that, that will be my roast.
Yeah, but listen, I mean, I'm not even worried about that. I mean, yeah, like I've seen enough of him pitch, but I'm not
worried
like,
about it. He's horrendous.
He's horrendous, but in the grand scheme of things, I'm talking grand scheme of things here.
Like when I understand. I know mine was a separate point. I know what you're saying. You're saying that for the Mets to get to where they'd like to get to, Scherzer has to be good. I get you.
Yeah, that's it. Like I'm with you with the Peterson stuff. But I mean, as far as what this team, what the intended goal is, the amount of money you spent, like a linchpin of that happening is Max Scherzer can actually be Max Scherzer. I'm not worried. Like Verlander didn't have a great start. I think part of that too was, I mean, it's going to happen during the course of a season. It's going to happen. But I'm not worried about him. I'm this one guy I am worried about, and that's right now Max Scherzer. I need him to be good. I need this to be. I mean,
and he's not been.
Well, what concerns me the most is that we keep hearing about this injury that he has, or what? I mean, if he's playing, I guess you can't call it an injury. Well, this ailment that he has that he's pitching through, and he's going to do his best to stay off the IL. I just get concerned that if you're pitching through something. And you don't give it a time. You don't ever give it time to heal because you don't want to go on the IL. How does it get better? And when I had last season, you broke down at the end of the season when I needed you the most. And the year before that, you had the dead arm, the arm fatigue with the Dodgers. I don't know. I have a hard time seeing how it gets better.
All right. So can I maybe squash your fears a little bit? Maybe
Please.
A little bit.
Please.
Would you like that? All right. So you like Jeff Passan, right?
I do like Jeff Passan.
And you think Jeff Passan is good and knowledgeable, correct?
I do.
Okay. So Jeff Passan was on the K show yesterday, and he says, it's not my words. This is Jeff Passan saying he's not worried about Max Scherzer.
I have faith in Max Scherzer because he's a guy who in his late 30s has still been dominant. And I think that dominance speaks to an ability to pitch, not just to throw, but to really pitch. And because of that, the fear that you have about Max Scherzer, I think sometimes you mistake honesty for terror. Like a guy tells you how he's feeling, that's what we want, and yet maybe we're reading a little bit too much into it. I think he's going to be all right. I really do. And I think Justin Verlander is going to be fine.
Well, firstly, I'm not remotely worried about Verlander. It was
no,
one
I'm
bad
not concerned
start.
About Verlander.
I think
no,
he'll be fine.
Well, plus his bad start, and on top of that, I mean, you did go up against the best
hitting team in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, again, one bad start. Scherzer, I certainly have more concerns about, but does that make you feel any better at all?
No.
None at all?
No, because he thinks.
Well, but nobody knows
thinks,
anything.
He hopes. Yeah, no one knows anything, but I'm telling you, like, I've seen how the last 2 years have unfolded for him. And he was dominant. He's not wrong. When he got traded to the Dodgers, he was dominant. But then when you needed him the most, arm fatigue and everything else, and then last year, same deal. And we find out that he was pitching through the injury that never went away, that lingered. And from the start of the season, that's what we've heard.
So then it's fair to say that you're not going to be more comfortable about the Mets for quite a while because you're going to have to see 3, 4, 5 probably consecutive starts from Scherzer where he pitches well before you're at the point where you're like, all right, you know, it feels like we've turned a corner and things are right.
Not necessarily. I mean, grand scheme of things, yes, I'll need that to happen. But as far as, like, just right in the ship where, you know, while we're not sitting here talking about this team not being a playoff team. Like, I could see that happening over the next, like, offense keeps going. Like, I could turn the corner with that, but I still have concerns about Scherzer, I do.
All right. Well, maybe that's not going to be alleviated that quickly.
Well, probably not. I mean, unless he just goes out and is just, is lights out.
Well, we get him this weekend, right, against Cleveland?
Yep.
So, you know, maybe he's better this weekend and maybe it calms you down a little bit. Now, I'll tell you another thing also. When, if they, even if he's not great, if they're winning games, it'll make it a lot easier for you to deal with. It's the losing games and Scherzer not being good that's really, at least for me, very unsettling.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both, but I also think it's just understanding, I mean, how this team was built and what needs to happen for the team to be successful. That's part of it. I mean, that's a main part of it, is him being Max Scherzer. That's why you went and paid him as much money as you paid him.
I get it. Scherzer needs to be himself. But the thing is, how of the guys that are making a lot of money, how many of them are doing at least what you'd hope, if not more? Not many.
Not many of them, no.
Right? I mean, Scherzer, no. Verlander, not yet. Lindor, who's got a ton of RBIs, and I get it. Every day he's at shortstop. What is he hitting now, 220?
Right around there, yeah.
That's not okay.
Pete's got the 16 home runs.
I think Pete's been fine. Average a little low, but I mean, leads Major League Baseball in home runs and RBIs, right?
Yeah.
So you can't go after him. So he's earned everything that he gets. Nimmo, I think, has been pretty good. But Marte's been horrendous.
Yeah, you can go up and down the lineup. I mean, it hasn't been good enough.
No, it's not good enough. And you know what? Can I spin this a different way for you? And
spin
maybe
it.
You'll hear this. You're like, no, I don't agree at all. It's fine. Is there any way that I can sell you on this? It's been awful. You agree with that? Awful.
Yes.
The pitching has been brutal. The offense has been horrendous. They haven't won a series up until this past one over Tampa since mid-April, right? It's been absolutely horrible. Is that accurate to say?
I would say that's pretty accurate.
They're one game below 500.
Right. I mean, listen, I'm fine. I mean, I'm not. Listen, I haven't been panicked. Like, even when you ask me the question, I've never been panicked. I mean, we keep going back to, you know, where they are in the standings, and as bad as it's been, I mean, they're still right there for the wild card. I don't think either of us thought that, I mean, we both picked Atlanta to win the division, and I think they're a step above what the Mets are. But, I mean, this team was put together for one reason, and you spend this amount of money for one reason, and it's to win a championship, have the ability to win a championship. And if Max Scherzer isn't the best version of Max Scherzer, I don't know how realistic that goal is.
And especially if the offense isn't good. So the entire season in your mind rests on the right arm of Max Scherzer.
Yeah, well, if your expectation or the goal is to win a championship, I mean, it's him and Verlander. And then the lineup doing what you hope they're able to do, which is have good at-bats, grind you out, get on base, string together some hits, and you have Lindor and Alonso driving in runs.
You and I both picked Atlanta to win this division, and yep, they're currently, you know, head and shoulders above anybody in this division. I thought the Mets would come in second place. Now there's some concern about that, but Jeff Passan says, don't worry, second place for the Mets will happen.
I don't think they're going to be a third place team for long. Right. I also don't think they're going to beat the Braves in the National League East this year, and I don't know that my outlook on the Mets has changed entirely, but the fact that Francisco Alvarez is getting regular playing time now, the fact that Mark Vientos is up, that Brett Beatty's in there almost every day, I agree. Play the kids. Let's see what we got.
Play the kids. Let's see what we got. That's the thing. That's the time. And he was saying that he has a lot of Mets fan friends, and he gets texts every day of, why do you not play the kids? Let's play the kids.
Yeah, but understand
this,
though.
Let's see the kids.
But understand why we want it, and I'm with all those people texting, his buddies texting him, I want to see the kids too. But why that isn't necessarily the best, like what he said is necessarily the best thing. Like, in a season where you spend the most money in baseball and your expectation is to compete and win a championship, and the rallying cry from the fan base is, let's just play the young kids and see what we got.
Would you rather see Vientos or Vogelback?
No. No. You're misunderstanding the point.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to see it, But that's because we're in a spot now where everyone is underachieved, and we got a bunch of guys that are holes in the lineup.
Correct.
A team that you're spending $350 million
on. You had no interest in the kids this year because you thought they would be irrelevant for this team, and now you're in a position where you need to play the kids. You're right.
Like, you thought the kids were going to be used, like some of those kids are going to be used to at the deadline.
As trade chips, yes.
Yeah, to make this a World Series, or just fill in a couple pieces.
100% right. Marte, Canna, I mean, and I think Marte will play, but Marte, Canna, Pham, Vogelbach, right, Escobar, that's five guys who you rely on, and all of them have been garbage this season.
Yeah, but think about that, though. I mean, that's the biggest problem with where we're at right now, though, in the season. And I know it's early still, and, I mean, you mentioned we're only a game under 500, but I don't care what the sport is. If you have a team that's been built to win a championship, and we're what? We're now 45 games into the season, and the fan base is, well, we can't win with these guys, so play the young kids and let's just see what we got. That doesn't scream to anybody like a legitimate championship contender.
No, it doesn't. But you know what? Teams do it, right? The Braves have done it where they don't plan to bring guys up and then they bring them up and they're successful and they're good.
Yeah, a guy. Like Michael Harris jumps in, not five guys. All of a sudden now you got your starting third baseman, your catcher, your DH, potentially your second baseman.
Fair point. You didn't expect that the entire farm system would have to be brought up at any point.
You're calling up every prospect you have.
Desperate times, baby. Call for desperate measures.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
But I'm getting tweets that the Sharp Hat read was a disaster you just did.
Sharp Hat, that was, how dare you? The Sharp Hat read was terrific.
What do you mean, how dare me? I'm reading to what I got.
I had no screw-ups in the Sharp Hat read, I don't think.
Did you not? All right.
Santi, did I have any screw-ups in the Sharp Hat read?
I didn't catch any, but maybe you did. I'll listen back.
Well, I mean, Joe sends me a tweet, says, nice Sharp Hat read, Rick. And then he has like a meme of Ryan Reynolds and says, so bad.
That was not so bad.
I didn't really hear it. This is not coming from me. I'm Santiago, just
let me hear
sure.
it. Play, get, pull it up.
Give me a couple seconds here.
Give me a couple seconds. Pull it up. Let me know. I'm willing to accept if it was bad.
No. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm saying it's being brought to my attention that maybe it was, in fact, bad. And I don't know.
I can play the entire thing. We can listen to it again for the first time.
Let's listen to it. Let's critique. Please, can we hear how this went down?
Oh, look what it is. Sharp Hat. Hey, it's me, Rick DiPietro.
Fine.
Bring your business to the next level with a system of experts at Sharp Hat. For over 20 years, Sharp Hat has specialized in writing customer software that's intuitive, looks great, and works for you. Sharp Hat exceeds your expectations on time and on budget. Sharp Hat software empowers companies both large and small, including the most popular football leagues in the world.
Yep.
Visit sharphat.com/Rick today to schedule a free consultation with an expert engineer. That's sharphat.com/Rick. When your standards are high and success matters, call Sharp Hat.
I mean,
no issues at all. None.
One flub, maybe.
No, please.
You've done way worse before.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Look at Raymond.
Seriously.
Ray makes it feel better by saying, you've done way worse than that.
You got your Rangers jersey on aisles.
Like that.
Jewelry and fine timepiece brands. .com/sportbook/sportbook.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, you've had some real flubs. That wasn't bad. That was one minor hiccup.
Wasn't even a flub, really.
No. I didn't say it was bad. I was getting tweets that said that you really butchered the sharp hat read.
Here's the problem, though.
Yeah.
Rick told you there were no problems. You insisted there were.
I did not insist anything.
You believed random Twitter guy over your friend Rick.
No, you're trying to fight.
No.
I'm not trying to do that. All I'm doing is I want him to be the best version of himself he can be. And it was brought to my attention that he flubbed the read, and in fact, the read was fine. So good for you.
Thank you.
My God, RJ.
You should have just believed him in the first place.
I take my relationship with Sharphead very serious. I did not want to flub their reads.
Nor should you. You know, they're very involved with a major football league.
Multiple football leagues, but
yeah,
a very
major
one.
The big one, if you know what I
mean.
The
biggie.
The big one.
Yeah, that was a nice meeting we had. I thought I was very respectful. I thought I was the one that really sealed the deal.
I see what you don't realize. And this goes back to the Alonzo thing. You cursed numerous times in the meeting.
I thought we were in a safe space. I think everyone was cursing.
Not everyone was cursing. When you have a meeting with a potential client, I'm thinking the best way to really kind of bring them aboard is not to curse.
I think it makes us more relatable.
No, it makes them think that you're lowbrow and low class.
RJ, you were in the meeting. Sitting there in the corner. Who do you think, of the two of us, who sealed the deal?
I think Rick performed well.
Yes.
But it could have gone poorly. I think you took a chance. I think it landed pretty well. But I think in that risk, it could have gone very poorly. Dave played it safe. You know,
I wasn't dropping F-bombs like a sailor. I played it safe.
Some people like that, you know?
You know what? Next meeting we have, just look out. Look out.
It's called reading the room, Dave. It's called reading the room.
You know what? I know there was a lovely woman in this meeting, okay? I looked up, and there was a time, and RJ, I believe you can attest to this. She was shaking her head.
You said something.
It was so incredible that she just, she was like, dear. Shaking her head.
No, she was like, you know what she was like? She was like, in her mind, she's like, oh, my God. He said what I was thinking.
No.
We need to do business.
No.
He's a sharp hat.
Sharp hat.
Yeah. You know what she was thinking? He's a hardball is what she was thinking.
What's wrong with that?
He's a hardball.
Yeah.
You want to get deals done or not?
Yeah. I think that's the way. I'm going to start cursing.
No, because you can't just start randomly cursing. It's got to be well thought out. Strategy. It's the strategy. You walk in there, you feel it out, you get an idea of what's going to be acceptable, what people want. Yeah, calculate. Thank you.
Here's the thing for the salespeople at 98.7 ESPN, marketing consultants, as they would be known as. You want to seal the deal, you call me.
Who the hell are you?
I'm friendly. I'm not going to curse. You want to really roll the dice? You want to double down on a 9 against an 8? You call Rick.
Actually, that's probably why you get all the animal sound effects. He expresses himself because he can't curse.
Right.
That's right. That stands in the way of me cursing, is what you're saying?
No, cursing's cursing.
It'd be more acceptable than that.
Yeah, you have no outlet, so this is what happens.
So what? At least I can control myself.
That's what you want.
That's called
self-control. That's what the sales department wants.
That's what you call self-control.
I'm trying to seal deals.
I mean, he's in a meeting trying to land a client, and he's like, oh, bleep this, bleep that. You can take this and shove it right, bleep, bleep, bleep.
Great. All of a sudden, Dave turns into whatever animal he wants to be that day. I can't close deals like
all
that.
All of a sudden, it's me and Andrew Dice Clay in the meeting with Sharp Hat.
I think cursing is more socially acceptable than, you know, going around sounding like a turkey.
Turkey doesn't get you fined by the FCC, pal.
Wait, you want some Andrew Dice Clay? I'll give you some right now.
Why don't you do it? Go ahead. Let's see what you got.
Hickory
Dickory Dock.
Jack and Jill went up there, lethal to a buck and a quarter. What do you want to tell you? Whatever you need.
Yeah, I know you will. Let's go to Jeff in Long Beach. Try not to insult him if you can. Good morning, Jeff. You're on 98.7.
Hi, good morning, guys. I wanted to chime in on the Mets. I think Billy Epler really needs to be on the hot seat. You know, the Mets signed him after the Angels fired him, after being sub-500 for 5 years, in spite of, at a big cost, having two of the best four or five players in baseball in Trout and Ohtani. So I'm going to give you three reasons why they need to let him go. First, he assembled a pitching staff that leads the league in giving up homers and walks. And he made the starting pitchers so bereft of people that they had to roll out Peterson for eight times after he gave up 34 runs in 34 innings after his first start. Two, the rough for Davis and three pitcher trade last year was one of the main factors in why they blew the big lead for the division with Atlanta. And three, the main free agent signing he was pursuing, which fortunately fell apart because of some old injury that they were concerned about, he just raised his average over 200 by going 4-for-10 over the weekend. So I don't know how long they're going to keep Epler. I don't want to keep him for another 5 years like the Angels had him. What do you think?
We agree with you 100%. As far as I'm concerned, and Rick, you can chime in as well, Billy Epler has done a bad job with this team. Having an unlimited budget to put this team on the table feels very underwhelming.
Yeah, it is underwhelming, and we were underwhelmed at the time, at the last year's deadline. We didn't feel like he did enough, and he didn't. And, I mean, the one thing I'll push back on is the Carlos Correa thing. I mean, I don't think that was...
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either.
Well, but I think that was more... That was a Steve Cohen thing, too.
Well, they were going to spend the money, and they determined that the guy had a legitimate injury.
Right, but, I mean, that was Steve Cohen. I mean, Steve Cohen was kind of spearheading that whole thing. Like, let's go get Carlos Carrasco. He's the bat we need.
Correa, right.
Correa. Yeah, he's the bat that we need. But no, I don't disagree. I mean, I think there's this thought that, you know, Billy Epler has, you know, has this ability to lure Shohei Ohtani. And that would be a reason why you kept him around. But as far as his performance on this job, has not been good.
Very underwhelming.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Are you ready for what is right in front of you right now?
Yeah, I'm confident.
You feel totally confident?
Yeah, I feel totally confident.
Now, he might, you know, stroke your ego because you're, you know, a celebrity and a big deal, but trust me, behind closed doors, the people at Sharp Hat, led by Nick, the founder and owner of Sharp Hat, they're not thrilled. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great. I'm concerned how you feel about Rick after the meeting, but why don't you give us the honest truth here?
All right. First of all, shout out to the company, of course, and RJ and Ray. So we will be at the tailgate, by the way, and sitting in section 128. So
nice.
We'll look forward to seeing you guys.
Great.
Yeah, we'll be there. We thought the meeting was great. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
And the cursing does not bother us. We thought both you guys were awesome. And, you know, we immediately signed on after. So, yeah.
Nick, let's face it, though.
No issues.
Nick, let's face it, though. The real star of the meeting. If it was just Dave that walked into this meeting by himself,
I think they would have been wowed. I think
strong chance you're not doing business, right?
So I'll give you a funny story. So Meg, you met her at the meeting.
Lovely. Yep. That's she was shaking her head when Rick went into Crazy Town.
No, her 7-year-old son was listening, and she said, "Oh yeah, that's the old Islanders goalie." And he was like, "Why would you talk to an Islanders goalie?" Because he's a Ranger fan.
Did she at all tell him that he steals money from the Islanders, or is he too young to hear that kind of language?
Yeah, he's probably too young for that.
Okay.
We're us old time Islander fans. We're over that. We love you, Rick. Don't worry about it.
Thank you, Nick.
You got it. And Dave, you're the best too. We love you both, you guys. So, RJ, you know, he's been killing it with the reads. So we're very happy. We're trying to be active on Twitter now with the rest of the company, and you know, all good on our side. So,
all right, one more question before we let you go. We do appreciate you checking in with us. Of the group that was there to meet us and hang out with us that morning of the meeting, who would you say the consensus they liked better, me or Rick?
Oh, you can't put me on spots like that. I'll do a poll, and then I'll report back to you on June 1st. How's that?
Very good. Thank you, Nick. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. So how about that? The owner of Sharp Hat is a member of the company.
Well, he's a loyal listener to the show. That's what drew him into doing business with us.
I think it was my winning personality.
No. He's a diehard Islanders fan.
Yeah, well, no one's perfect.
Clearly. I mean, you come in and you're blah.
I'll tell you what then. You know what? Since apparently you're the big star, when we have these meetings in the future, why don't you run them solo?
No.
You know what?
Told you.
Because I'm a team player, since I'm such a pimple on your fanny, why don't you go in there and you sell and schmooze and curse and say all these inappropriate things, and I will go home and not go to the meeting. How's that?
No, you're more of a herpy than you are a pimple. I can't get rid of you. I'm stuck with you. And I like it.
I like it.
And I like it.
I don't have to be there.
Cold sore.
I don't listen. You go. You sell the business from now on. You don't
need sell me. The business. We sell. You're the yin to my yang.
Oh, so maybe is it fair to say that I wasn't so crappy in the meeting?
You were fine.
That was good.
I don't think you were the standout.
So you think you stood out?
Hey, you were like a side dish.
Dave was the draw. Rick was the hook.
Yeah, you were like the little fat piece of bait, and then I'm the one that reeled it
in. So I'm like the escarole. I'm like the, oh, yeah, I got a steak here. I'm sitting here having dinner all by myself. I'll have a beautiful medium rare steak and some escarole on the side. I'm the escarole.
Like, I don't know if escarole. I've never seen escarole as a side with the steak, but okay.
Spinach.
Yeah, cream spinach. You're a nice bowl of creamy spinach.
You know what? I like the cream spinach.
Yeah, who doesn't?
All right, 1-800-919-3776. I'll tell you what, you're very nasty to me.
No, you're just upset that Nick had my back is what you're upset about.
No. He had because he's an Islander fan. Of course he's going to have your back. If he was a Rangers fan, he would detest you. All right, let's look at this. Denver Nuggets up 2-0. You know, I thought the Lakers played really well last night, and they still lost this game. Jamal Murray, who was bad for much of the game, was insanely good in the fourth quarter. Jokic does what Jokic does, and the Lakers are down 2-0 heading back to L.A.
Yeah, here's the thing with Denver, man. I mean, you got probably the best player in basketball right now.
He every time I watch this guy, I'm wowed by what he's able to do.
I think everyone is. So you have that, and on top of that, I mean, they're great at home. They don't lose at home. Denver's a tough place to play. And Anthony Davis, game one, gives you a 40-piece. Game two, listen, I get it. I mean, it's not easy, but if the Lakers are going to win this series, AD and LeBron have to be two of the big reasons why they do it. And AD, giving you what he gave you last night, is not going to be good enough. I mean, shooting 27%, 18 points, it's not going to get the job done.
No, he was not good. He was really bad in the first half. Really bad in the first half. But even all that being said, I think the Lakers had a 5-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and Murray went bananas. And I think I saw that Jokic didn't even score in the fourth quarter, and they still pulled away and beat the Lakers.
Jokic was 0-4. Jokic had no points in the fourth, but Jamal Murray had the 23, and he was... And dude, you got to imagine how demoralizing that, too, as you're watching that, and they're defending, and then like 1 second left in the shot clock, he makes a three. And then he hits another three. I mean, he made four threes in the fourth, 23 points. Jamal Murray's a good player now.
No, he's not a good player. He's an excellent player. Remember how good he was in the bubble a couple of years back?
I do, then he got hurt.
Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, then he got hurt.
And then he tore his ACL, and this is his second year back, and it feels like he's right back on the verge there. But that's, you know, everyone looks at Denver, and they're like, oh, you know, they have this flaw and that flaw. They're a very good team. Like you said, they have, if not the best player, probably the second best player in the world right now. Murray's a stud, right? They don't have a tremendous bench, but Aaron Gordon provides something for them. And Porter's a good physical, athletic player. Like that's and they're very well coached. They have a tremendous home court advantage. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Denver won the whole thing.
No, I don't think anyone would be surprised. I mean, they're as complete a team as there probably is left in the playoffs. And when you have the best player and you have Jamal Murray capable of doing what he did in the fourth quarter, and then you sprinkle in, you know, some of the other stuff that they have. I mean, Bruce Brown giving you 12 last night was a nice, solid addition. Yeah. And the fact that they play in Denver, and Denver is a tough place to play and win. What the Lakers have going for them is that they haven't lost at home yet. So they go back to L.A. I think you just have a hard time believing, you know, you had a great shot to win one of these games, that now all of a sudden you're going to beat Denver four out of the next five games.
Difficult.
It's a tall task.
Yeah. And, God, I'm so in awe of watching Jokic play. And you know what I think I love more? And he's a big guy. He's, what, 6'9"? But you don't watch him and think he's sheer athleticism. You know? Like, you watch him and think, like, he's the kind of guy that would play at the Y, and when he plays, he wows you every time.
Yeah, I think that's what makes him, I mean, I think it makes him relatable, because he's not this guy that can, you know, can jump out of a gym, or he's not a physical specimen, but he has an unbelievable basketball IQ, and he can do pretty much everything he needs to do. I mean, he's an exceptional passer, especially at his size.
He can handle the ball great in the open court.
Right, but I mean, and he's able to slow the game down. Like, he never looks like he's in a rush. And I mean, you watch him play, he plays at his own pace, and teams try. I mean, I think when you heard what I thought was the funniest, and like, I don't even know if you have to do this, but I get why he's doing it with Denver's coach. Like, he was pissed that the narrative coming out of game one was,
oh, with this, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, well, it's because, I mean, that what you heard was, you know, Denver won, but no big deal for the Lakers because they found something, right? They let Anthony Davis play that free safety, and they had Hachimura, you know, defending Jokic. So, and right. Jokic had, like, what did he have? Was he 0-2 or whatever it was in six possessions? But they made a big deal out of it. And he's like, Mike Malone's like, yeah, but we won.
Right.
Like, what do you think they would want? They found something, or that they found something and they won? We're up 1-0. That's all that matters. And we're sitting here talking about this stupidity, and not to mention the fact, like, we're trying to downplay what Jokic has been able to do. Like, what was that, his 13th triple-double last night?
He's at, like I said earlier, he's averaging a triple-double in the postseason. Averaging.
I mean, it's wild. I mean, at his size, what he's able to do.
And the way he handles the ball and leads the break. I mean, they get the ball and they give it to him.
Well, the offense runs through him.
That's tough, too.
You know what I heard? I thought about this because we spent all this time talking about the Knicks and what they need to do, what they need to add. And they were talking about it was J.J. Redick, who's into all the advanced analytics, and he's getting head coaching job interviews. Like, that's how smart he is. But he made a point to say, like, as good as Tatum and Brown are or whatever it was, he said, the way that Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic complement each other, their two main game, because they complement, like, the amount of offense they can run, like, different offenses they can run together, because they complement each other so well, is what makes them so dangerous.
They really are a dangerous team. They're 6 wins away from winning the entire thing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.